Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
That's where we're going to be spending our time this evening. Habakkuk chapter 3, that's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And so if you go to that break between the Old and New Testaments and then turn back a few books, you'll be there in Habakkuk. There is a lot that is happening that we've announced about, and some things have changed, and we've had just a couple little changes in our announcements. I do want to, just by way of clarification, let everybody know that this coming Sunday afternoon, a week from today, there will be a combined worship service at the campus of Columbia Academy, and we'd encourage everyone who can to be part of that. But we will have our worship services here at the same times as usual. So I know a couple have asked that. We'll be having our service at 9 and then class and then that evening at 6. We're just encouraging people to take time that afternoon to go. It'll be an encouragement to be with Christians from all around, and it'll also be an encouragement to the students there who will be part of that. And as I think about those students, I think about everyone in Lads to Leaders, these young men who do such a great job when they come up here and read Scripture, I think that's outstanding. Let's continue to encourage our young people as they grow. Let's continue to encourage our group who's going to be involved in Lads to Leaders here in just a few weeks. These are great things that are taking place. And I do want to just take a minute to, I guess, brag a little bit about our group here at Graymeer. You may have heard the story. I'm sure it's made the rounds about Monday, our trip where we went to Memphis for our guys' trip to spend some time in Bass Pro and watch a basketball game, which was to finally won one of the times we were down there, and then have some barbecue and come on home. And I had one of those moments when I was sitting in the bus as 47 of us were making our way down the road. I thought, this has gone really well. And right when I thought that was when we got off at an exit right outside of Jackson, and there was an issue on the bus that involved a fire. And so it was a small fire, but still, that's not something you want to see happen. And I could go on and on about the ways in which the people there took good care of us, and strangers we'd never met took really good care of us. But I just want to let you know that we had people of all ages on that trip. It was about 7:30 at night. This was going to put us getting back later, and I don't think I heard a single complaint the entire time. It was amazing to see the kind of attitude that everyone had. The little guys who were on that trip, who honestly were pretty excited about what had happened, and I think by the time they got done telling the story at school, the entire bus was on fire. But other than that, we had a good experience, and I just wanted to brag on you. Those are opportunities we have as a church family to be together. And I appreciate so much what Kevin Thompson mentioned in prayer this morning, that we do have a sense in which we're in different situations in life, but that's really in name only, because we're all part of a family, and we got to see that. And hopefully this year you'll find ways that you can be involved, not just with people that you know well or people that are in your age group, but hopefully you can connect with others. And so we want to be emphasizing that. And speaking of that, you probably noticed that right out this doorway on those maps of our mission work are some sign-up sheets for our big campaign. These are specific areas where you can help and be involved in. We want to be planning not just to have vacation Bible school at night and a special series of seminars at night, but we want to plan what we're going to do during the day. And there are going to be a lot of opportunities. No matter where you like to serve, there's a place to do that. And the sooner we start signing up, the sooner we'll be able to know what we need in each area. And so please don't leave here tonight without going by there and looking at those. And let's think and pray about the ways God can use us during that campaign. As we've been singing the last couple of weeks, He is able. We'll sing this through twice just as a reminder of what we are wanting to let everyone know about in this community. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today.
He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be.
And as we think about our text tonight, God's ability and His power are going to be at the forefront of what we see. I think I've shared with some of you practice that a couple that Catherine and I were in school with have used with their daughter that I thought was just really interesting. She was at the point in life where she started asking some questions. And you know, there are times, children like to ask questions, and there are times when the questions they're asking are so big that they're not really old enough to handle the response to that question. Because children are curious, and so they're always wondering, and it may be that they're asking questions and you're just really not ready to delve into everything that would be involved in answering them. And so what they did was they found a suitcase, and they packed it with clothes and packed it with other things till it was full and it was heavy. And they brought it to her and they asked her to pick up that suitcase. She tried to pick it up and wasn't able to. It was pretty heavy. And she was a small girl and she's trying to pick it up and couldn't do it. And they finally said, you know, there are some things in life that are just too heavy right now for us to talk about. But when you're old enough and when you're big enough to handle it, we'll talk about those things. But right now it's a little too heavy. I thought that was a pretty insightful way of dealing with it. It gave her a kind of a visual to understand the process. And as we get through Habakkuk and we start looking at some of these deep questions that we see in the text here and that we really see all through Scripture, I have to tell you, as someone who gets up and preaches, there are times when we deal with things that are pretty heavy. And you're up here and you feel like you're trying to pick up something and there's more weight to it and it's deeper and it's difficult and it's challenging. And those of you who have been through challenges in faith understand what it's like to get to some of these issues. Habakkuk is dealing with one of these heavy issues. And one of the things that he finds out at the very beginning of Habakkuk is something we see all throughout our lives. And that is that life's not fair. I don't know what age you were when you remember sinking in that, you know, this just isn't fair. It's something about children that we tend to start saying that at an early age, but you can see it. You can see children in your class that did mean things to others, and that just wasn't fair. That wasn't right. There were some people who were mean and who were rude to others, and they had more than other children, and they looked down on the children they had more, and that's just not right. And that continues. It only becomes more noticeable as we grow older. And there are people in business who practice things they shouldn't practice and cut corners and don't deal with integrity, and yet they don't seem to be punished. But you know people who are honest businessmen. You know people who are honest people trying to get a job done, and they seem to struggle. And then we look around us and we know there are individuals that aren't concerned with others. They're not concerned with helping other people, but things seem to go well for them. They seem to do well financially. They have good jobs. They have a lot of security. And there are people you know that are good-hearted people trying to do what's right, and they don't. And time again, we're left with that feeling that this just isn't fair. If we can understand that feeling, I think we understand what it's like for the beginning of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk has this sort of reaction to the way God's people are suffering. And he looks around and he says, you know, this just isn't fair. I'm looking around and I'm seeing the God's people and they're suffering and they're hurting. We don't know as much as we'd like to know about Habakkuk. We know that he was a contemporary of Jeremiah. And probably about that time, as he was dealing with some of those issues, he was watching God's people suffer and he was asking the question, how long is this going to go on? How long is this going to last? And he gets an answer back from God, that God was raising up the Chaldeans, that the Chaldeans would be the one who would end this suffering. But that brings Habakkuk to a new question. How can God use a nation that's evil to punish others? This just doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem right. And as you read through Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2, I know it's a passage that we might not be as familiar with, but the questions are incredibly relevant. And when we get to probably the best known verse of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk 2 and verse 20, the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth be silent before Him. Oftentimes when we sing that, at least when I sang that growing up, I wasn't really thinking about the context of Habakkuk. That was usually a song that was sort of an indication that we need to all be quiet. I've heard that sung at a VBS before. When it's time for the kids to calm down, let's be quiet. You know, let's keep silent. But that's really not what the text has in mind here. Because he's getting a response from God, and it's the idea of you're standing before a holy God. That's why when we sing this in worship, we're not singing it to say everybody needs to settle down. We're singing it to say we're coming before God in worship. We're in His presence. And so that song hopefully will evoke that kind of awe in ourselves as we are standing before Him in worship. But God gives him this answer that he struggles with, and we get to chapter 3. And it's called a prayer of Habakkuk. It, like other prayers we've looked at, seems to be in a poetic structure. So it's like reading poetry. It's like reading something that's a beautiful poem in the way that it's constructed. And there's a term at the very beginning in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shigionoth. And that is an odd word, but what that indicates is a sort of a musical setting. So it's not just that this is a prayer or a poem, but it's sort of intended to be a song. And there's such a close connection, we've noticed, between prayers and songs as we've looked at different prayers in Scripture. Remember, Jonah's prayer, as he's in the belly of the fish, seems to be taken straight out of the books, the Psalms, that we read about in the Old Testament. It's taken straight out of the vocabulary of the psalmist. And so what I'd like for us to do is to read this prayer, this song that Habakkuk gives, beginning in verse 2. And as we go through this extended reading, I'd like for us just to reflect on what this teaches us about Habakkuk's reaction when things seem unfair. And while God answered what Habakkuk asked him, still those answers didn't totally resolve all the questions. How does Habakkuk respond? Beginning in verse 2. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from His hand, and there He veiled His power. Before Him went pestilence, and plague followed at His heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging rivers swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no flood, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And then you have the instruction there of the setting to the choir master with stringed instruments, reminding us of how many psalms seem to be set in that way. I think it's powerful to reflect on what Habakkuk says here in the face of difficult questions. And I just want to focus on two principles that I think arise out of the text we just read. It may be one we don't read often. It might be one that doesn't sound very familiar. And yet I think there are some powerful truths here. The first is that he remembers God's power. It's important to see that he focuses on the power of God from the very beginning of this address. Did you notice the way in which you kept seeing God portrayed in this way as a warrior, using the elements in order to accomplish his goals? At the beginning, we read Habakkuk saying that he hears the word of the Lord and he fears, he trembles. It's similar to what would happen in Isaiah chapter 6 when we see Isaiah before the throne of God in the year that King Uzziah had died. The king had died, but he's before the throne of God and he's reminded of how impure and unclean he is. When he sees the power of God, it brings with it humility. And it seems like that's true for Habakkuk here. He knows the power of God, and so he's trembling. He's afraid because he understands the greatness that's there. If I don't have a conception of God that is big enough to remind myself of how small I am, I need to read passages like this one and just be reminded of how powerful God is. It's easy sometimes when we pray for us to forget who we're talking to. For us to forget who we're addressing. For us to forget the power that God has. And so at the very beginning, Habakkuk is reminding himself of God's power. And he even prays for a revival in the midst of days, giving the indication, don't wait till the days are over. Don't wait till the end of time. Let's bring this power. Make it known. Let's see it right now. We understand wrath, but also mercy. He's pleading for that to be seen right where he is. And then if you notice, as we read through these different descriptions, and I know it's probably language we might consider archaic in today's society, and yet it's powerful because it would have reminded them of the history of Israel. When you think about plagues and pestilence, we might remember the plagues that God used to bring his people out of Egypt. When we think about God's power over bodies of water, over rivers and seas, which would have indicated chaos, how many times have we seen God show power over that, whether it's the parting of the Red Sea, or whether it's what we'll see later with Jesus calming the storm, God is in control. And even when he had this imagery of his bow being unsheathed and shooting arrows, we can look through the pages of Scripture as God's people went into Canaan, and God led them into battle. The sun and the moon standing still. When we read through, and God's people are fighting, and we have that really interesting tidbit that's just sort of slid in there during one of the battles where God causes the sun to stand still and you have more time, more daylight for them to fight. All of these elements are under God's control. And as we go through this prayer, it's as if Habakkuk is reminding us of God's power all along the way. There are times we deal with heavy questions, like the questions Habakkuk dealt with. Questions that seem to fill the suitcase so full that it's hard for us to lift it up. And then it's good for us to be reminded of God's power. When was the last time we really reflected on God's power over his nature? I think probably this weekend we had a golden opportunity, at least in this area, to be reminded of God's power. We had snow that we don't get a lot of. And there's something that, even though it's cold and it's challenging and there's a lot that goes with that that's difficult, there's something pristine about snow when it first falls, that purity that's there. And we look out in our backyards or we look at the trees around us and there's a beauty that's there. It reminds us of the one who created this world. It also reminds us this weekend of how many layers we have constructed between ourselves and the natural world. I don't know about you, but I was thankful this week to have a roof over my head. I was thankful this week to have heat where I didn't have to be out in the elements. Even when we were out in the elements, we've got coats and we've got gear that keeps us from really struggling with the cold temperatures. We've sort of created layers between ourselves and nature. And in Habakkuk's time, they had probably done something similar, not as many layers and not as complex as ours would be. But when we really stop and think about the world where we live and the power that exists, that we serve a God who created everything, that there are things on this planet I will never see in my lifetime that God knows and created. And when I pray, He hears my prayer. Seems like if I'm praying, I need to take time to remember God's power. To remember the fact that He's even listening in the midst of my own life and my own challenges. So Habakkuk remembers God's power. And rehearsing the things that God had done for them is something we see. We see it in the Psalms. We look at several different psalms in the Old Testament, and the psalmist is struggling, but then he remembers what God's done in the past. And there are times we're dealing with challenges, and we don't know what the future is going to hold. And sometimes the only thing we can hold on to is reminding ourselves of what God has done for us in the past. The way we can be comforted by seeing how God got us through that. So it's good to remember God's power. And then in the last few verses, he begins to do something that's even more odd. He begins to rejoice. It's easy for us to think that as we live as Christians, it's either all or nothing. I'm either completely rejoicing, or I'm completely suffering, or I'm completely questioning. But Habakkuk, in the midst of all of this questioning that he's done, and in the midst of God's response, he remembers God's power, and even in the middle of a difficult time, he starts to rejoice. It's like he gets the rejoicing started earlier. There's an author, Leo Biscaglia, who talks about something that happened when he was growing up. He said the night after his father came home and said it looked like he would have to go into bankruptcy because of the actions of his business partner, his partner had left with the firm's funds. He said his mother went out and she sold some jewelry so that she could buy a big feast. And the next night, they ate the best meal they had had in a long time. And he remembered asking her why later, and she said, "We need joy now. We don't need it in the next few weeks. We need joy right now. Something to enjoy, something positive." And I think there's something interesting about when we're struggling to look for ways we can rejoice even in the midst of that. We touched on that a little bit this morning when we talked about being abounding in thanks in the midst of challenges. I don't mean that that's easy, but I think Habakkuk gives us a little hint of what it's like to decide I'm going to rejoice in God's power even when I'm in the midst of something incredibly tragic and incredibly difficult. In fact, in Revelation, we see something very similar. In Revelation chapter 6, you have all of these martyrs, individuals who had given their lives in service to Christ. And they, in Revelation chapter 6, are asking the same kind of question that Habakkuk begins this book asking. How long? Verse 9, 10, and 11 tell us of this little exchange. They're saying, how long is it going to be? How long is this tribulation going to last? And the answer they get back is, there's still more time to go. That there are still more who are going to lose their lives in service to Christ. Habakkuk is asking that same question, how long? And God's answers are probably not the answers he would have come up with, and maybe not the answers you and I would have come up with, but he chooses to rejoice. He talks about this idea that even though the fig tree isn't blossoming, and there be no fruit in the vines, the olive crop failed, the field produces no fruit, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there's no cattle in the stalls. In essence, he's saying, when I've got no money in the bank, and when I've got no food on the table, and when I don't know what's happening next, I am still going to trust in God. Now, some of us have experienced times like that. Maybe you've experienced times where you really didn't know where your next meal was going to come from, where you really didn't know what was coming next. Chances are, a lot of us have experienced that on a smaller scale, where we had some help and we had some people, but there was still some uncertainty. And here Habakkuk's saying, even in the midst of uncertainty, even when I don't know what's happening next, I'm choosing to rejoice in God. That tells me a lot about joy and rejoicing. It tells me that it's a choice that we make more than it is a feeling we experience. I might feel joy by things that happen in my life. I might have a joyful feeling. But if I'm rejoicing, it's because of something I've chosen to do. I'm choosing to rejoice. And so if you're one of those heavy times in life right now, and I know several of us are, can I just challenge you to choose to rejoice? Can I challenge you to have this kind of attitude that he rejoices in God's victory and he seems at the end to lean on God's power. He's not relying on his own strength. He says, the Lord God is my strength and he has made my feet like the feet of a deer. If you've seen deer as they've run around and loped along and it's very graceful and there's a lot of energy that's there, he says, you know, he's renewed me. He's given me strength. He makes me walk in my high places, this indication of a high and exalted place. It's a word that another one of the prophets, Micah, would use to describe the dwelling of God in high places, that God has exalted him, even in the midst of challenges. You know, it's interesting to read stories and legends about different people we're familiar with. One of those is a legend that's told about the Emperor Augustus. And he was told that there was a citizen out there in his kingdom who owed a lot of money to a lot of people. And he had so many debtors coming after him. And yet the story that Augustus got was that this man who owed so many people was able to lay down at night and he got a good night's sleep every night. Things that might keep most people up. He was able to be rested and have a good sleep. And the legend is that Augustus sent for that man to see if he could purchase his bed, so that maybe he could have that bed and maybe he could get peace from what was troubling him, that he could get a good night's sleep. It's been handed down because it's a reminder, no matter how much power or no matter what exalted position we have, there's something that's necessary for true peace and true rest that we don't get with power and wealth, that we only find when we choose to rejoice in God. He remembered God's power and he rejoiced in God's victory. He uses the term salvation, and we have this idea even in the prophets of deliverance, that God would deliver his people. He'd done it before, that he could do it again, and that's where Habakkuk chose to focus. And so tonight, we're going to do something that we've done all throughout this series. We're going to try to incorporate what we read in Scripture specifically into our prayer time. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask that we bow. We'll have a few moments of quiet time for your own personal prayer. And then I'll close this out in prayer together. And let's remember what it's like to look back in God's power and to rejoice in his victory. If you would, let's bow and pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you this evening and we pray that as we've read your word, as we've been reminded of the challenges we face, we pray that you would help us to remember all that you've done for us. We pray that individually you can help us remember the times in our lives when we look back and realize you saw us through, that you provided maybe family members, maybe friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that helped us through difficult times. I pray that you would help us to keep those events firmly planted in our minds, that we would remember how we saw your power there. Father, I pray that you would help us remember what we've read in your word, the way in which you have been faithful to your people, and that all throughout time you have constantly shown your faithfulness and your love to each generation. We pray that as we face challenges in life, and Father, I know there are individuals in this room right now, just because of how many of us are here that are going through those challenges, I pray you would help us to lean on that knowledge that you have seen us through. And even if we don't know what's coming on the other side, that we can know you will be there. I pray that you would help us to rejoice in your victory. Father, we have the advantage of reading your word and of knowing the promise of eternity. We pray that you would help us to rejoice in that. That you would help us to choose joy even in the face of challenges, and that we could focus on that eternal life that you've promised us. We pray that we could share that joy with others, that we could reach others for you so they could have reason to rejoice. And Father, as we seek through this series the last few weeks to grow in our prayers, our prayer lives, our relationship with you, we pray that every time we come before you, we come before your throne, we could remember these two things, and that could enrich not only our understanding of you, the God that we serve, but also the way we can share you with others. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes there are things in life that are just heavy. It's just difficult to carry and difficult to pick up. The good news of the gospel is that the God who was there, that Habakkuk saw, that Habakkuk remembered, that Habakkuk looked to for victory, is that same God that's there for us. And there is nothing you have in your life that is too heavy for Him to carry. And so if you need to drag some of those things before Him tonight, if there's something in your life that you just can't carry on your own anymore, you can do that. If you need to become a child of God, you can do that. You can put Christ on in baptism tonight. You don't have to leave here in doubt of your relationship with God. We can make that right tonight. Not because we're offering our own invitation or we have any power on our own, but because of what God has let us know through His Word. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If we can be an encouragement to you, please come as we stand and as we worship together.